You see, sometimes we think that our words aren't a big deal. But let me tell you, your words speak life or your words speak death. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. Happy to be your host today. I'm here with senior pastor and author at New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Job. Pastor Mark, today's passage is, as always, challenging, pointing at our attitude and how to maintain the attitude of Christ. And this is the second part of that message. And, you know, you're going to be talking to us about complaining and arguing and pouring our life out. What a challenging passage.
It is a very challenging passage, and especially in this climate that we live in, Joshua. I have been amazed at how much negativity spews out from believers, especially on social media.
So easy.
There seems to be a lack of filters that happens when we're on social media. When I talk to people in person, it seems like they put a few filters on.
Yeah.
But the backlash of name-calling, especially in this political climate that we live in and the tension that's there, the name-calling, the divisiveness, the polarization that exists, it's amazing to me how much we're complaining and being critical. This is a challenge in this passage to say, hey, as believers, do everything without complaining or arguing. In fact, he calls us to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation.
Yeah, you know, we think often about our arguing and complaining having a negative effect on others, which is true. But really, you know, why should I care? Why should I want to be somebody who does not complain and argue? Why should I want to have a different attitude?
And that's exactly what it points to, is that when you take on a different attitude from this negative, polarized, critical environment that we live in, then what starts happening is that we start to shine. People start seeing that there's a difference in us, and our shining is not for ourselves. It always reflects right back to Jesus. I want to challenge you and say this. If you are negative, argumentative, if you always are talking about what's going wrong, I can guarantee that most people around you are not inspired by your life. And aren't pointing to, you're not pointing a finger at Jesus. They're looking and saying, well, that is a individual that seems to be depressed about life. So some of you need to say, God, check my attitude. I pray that I would stop complaining, stop arguing, and start pointing, shining a light to Jesus.
What a great challenge. Thank you, Pastor Mark. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18, second half of a message called How to Maintain Your New Attitude.
Complaining has anything to do with grumbling, murmuring, talking bad about it, getting frustrated about it, talking down about it. I don't like it. How come we have to? This is crazy. This is too much. This is too bad. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too long. It's too short. I don't like it. It's too expensive. It's too cheap. And you know, anything murmuring and complaining, when you are looking for the negative and camping out on the negative, that's murmuring and complaining. My children, when they were young, used to watch Winnie the Pooh. And there's a character on Winnie the Pooh, a little donkey. His name was Eeyore. How many of you have seen Eeyore sometimes? And Eeyore is the character that's always saying, it's not going to work out. He's the one that's always murmuring and complaining and seeing the negative in everything. Everybody's upbeat about it, and he's always, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work out, we're going to fail. And usually his predictions come true because that's what he's focused on. Now here's what I want you to understand. This is huge. A lot of us look at murmuring and complaining as, well, it's just kind of a bad attitude, but it's not a big deal. You know, the Bible calls it sin. You say, well, I didn't think it was sin. Oh, yeah, it is. So when you sin, you need to do what? You need to repent and say, God, this is wrong. This does not please you. I repent from it and I turn away. And you say, well, it's not such a big deal. I mean, it's not like adultery or lying or cheating. I mean, it's a little sin, isn't it? No such thing as big sins, little sins. You want to know how serious God feels about this? Do you remember in the Old Testament when the people of God murmured and complained all the time? You know what God did? He opened up the ground and swallowed a couple thousand of them. Why? He was just tired of murmuring and complaining. I know some of you wish you could do the same thing. God, just kind of open up the ground, swallow a few people that are murmurers and complainers, God. I'll give you a list of names. Do everything without murmuring and complaining and without arguing. The word in the Greek here is literally a litigation term, a litigation word. You know, lawyers, they go back and forth, banter back and forth. They argue to try to argue their case. It's telling us do everything without looking for the argument. Some people just always look for the argument. It doesn't matter what side someone takes. They always take the opposite side. They look for the argument. They want to argue. Their whole life is about arguing, arguing, arguing about stuff. I want to argue about it. Some of you are married to people that way. Everything's an argument. I mean, why can't we agree? Some of you think Christianity's that way, and you go out and people know you as the arguing person. All they know is you just argue religion. I've never known anyone that's really come to Christ because they saw someone else really argue religion. So I was so touched in my heart because we argued all the time, and it really touched me, drew me close to God. We just argued and got mad and frustrated, and man, it really wanted me to, it really led me to want to know Jesus more because we argued. No, never heard it. Do everything without murmuring, complaining, or arguing. I heard of a father that went to church with his little son, and he typically didn't go to church. They kind of dragged him there for a special event, and on the way out the door, he was already starting to complain about the church service. They were driving home, and he went on about how long the message was, how loud the music was, how hard the seats were, how unclear the announcements were, how hot it was in that place, how unfriendly the people were, and his son was just listening to the whole time. And his son had watched when the offering went by. He had kind of observed his father, and he said, "Well, Dad, you got to admit it wasn't bad for a dollar." You know, some people are just negative all the time, though. It's just kind of this negative thing that flows out of us, and we want to complain about stuff all the time. The Apostle Paul tells us this: hey, do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? Why is it so important? Well, so that you may become blameless and pure. You see, sometimes we think that our words aren't a big deal. But let me tell you, your words speak life or your words speak death. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I run into people that they don't think their words are a big deal. But let me tell you, the Bible says your words are huge. So that you may become blameless. The word here, blameless, means that you will people on the outside will not have anything to accuse you of. And pure, the word pure here is the word literally unadulterated. It was used often of describing wine that had not been watered down with water, or it was used of describing metal that had not been mixed with weakening alloy. In other words, it's pure, it's unadulterated, it doesn't have a mix of stuff in it. So that it may be evident that you are blameless and pure, and so that people may see and understand that you literally are children of God. Someone says, "Well, aren't we all God's children?" No. "Well, Pastor, I thought we were all God's children." No. We are all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Hey, there's a lot of kids out there. I love a lot of kids, but you know, I have my kids. And my kids are my kids because they were born to my wife and I. She did the hard work, but they were born to my wife and I. They're my children. If you are a child of God, you need to be born of God. How do you become born of God? The Bible says you become born again. You become born of the Spirit. You say, "Well, I don't know if I am or I'm not." Listen, if you were born, you know you're born. It's like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm married or not married." No, if you're married, you know you were married. You know, it's not a vague concept there. It is or it isn't. It was a time and a place and an act and a choice and a decision. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in what? In a very crooked and perverse generation. And what he's getting to here is the contrast between the way we live by the way we talk and the society around us. Because he says, hey, that you may prove that you are children of God and you live in a crooked and perverse generation. And you know what? There's such a contrast between the way you talk and the way other people talk. There's such a difference between your attitude and the attitude of other people around you that, he says, you will shine like stars in darkness. What do you mean, Paul? Paul is saying, hey, there's a lot of darkness around. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of overwhelmed by darkness. I mean, there's so much darkness. Well, you should see how people talk at my job and my school and around me. I was just having a conversation with my son, my 11-year-old son who's in school. And we were talking about words that we say and we don't say. And he was saying, hey, Dad, you should see all the words that they say at my school. I said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. Don't tell me the words, but he said, oh, Dad, it's just everybody says them. I said, do you? Nope. Do you really? No, Dad, really, I don't. And I said, what do they say around you? What do they? No, well, they don't force me to say them. He says, but they all know I don't. There's a difference. And here's the thing about darkness and light. You say, well, Pastor, we live in such a dark world. I mean, how are we ever going to spread the light? Let me tell you this. All you have to do is be who God has called you to be. Light naturally expels darkness. It just naturally does it. This past summer, I had the opportunity of going into some caves in northern Spain, and we went deep into a mountain. Very, very dark. But there were, even though it was so dark, there was light there, and the light easily overcame the darkness. Because all that light has to do is just shine. As soon as light goes on, immediately, automatically, it dispels the darkness around.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk radio message called How to Maintain Your New Attitude, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. It's a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Pastor Mark's message, how to maintain your new attitude.
You just have to be who God has called you to be. Light. How? The way you talk. Your attitude. Just naturally generates light. He says, so that you shine as lights in the world. I mean, it becomes very evident that you are lights in the world. And notice what he says. What is our light? I mean, where do we get that light from? He says, in which you shine as stars in the universe. Verse 16. As you hold out the word of life. Now say it with me, word of life. If there's word of life, there's word of death. Complaining and arguing is word of death. You say, well, what is word of life? Well, it means that words that literally give life. You say, well, I'm going to have to come up with a lot of words of life. Then no, it's already come up with. It's called scripture. I don't know if you have one this morning, but I know it's just packaged in the form of a book, but it's much more than just a book. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is active and alive. It's the living word. What do you mean it's living? I've never seen it move. Oh, it's living because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the heart and thoughts. This thing is alive. It's dangerous. Because on Sunday morning in a Bible study or whatever, when I speak the word of God and you hear the word of God and it is thrown out to you and your mind grasps the word and it's digested into your system and it mixes with this thing called faith, then there is a dynamic combustion that happens when the word mixes with faith and it begins to trigger a spiritual reaction that causes transformation, life, and change in your life. It's the dynamic word of God. The Bible says that God's word will not return void. That's why when you come here on Sunday morning, I don't just get up and say, well, let me just give you a bunch of nice stories and my opinion about life. Because my opinion about life is nothing. It has no power. It has no God guarantee. You don't go to church just to hear nice concepts and stories that tickle your ears. If you go to church, you better go to hear the word. And if you attend a church that the word isn't preached, let me tell you, you're just getting tickled with a little spirituality, but you are not changing because it's the word of life that transforms people. It's the word given, the word of God, the word of life. That's why we get into the Bible. That's why we dig into the Bible. That's why churches have power and don't have power, because we need to teach the word and preach the word and dig into the word. And the Bible says it's the word of life. I love that. As you hold out, it's almost the image of someone holding a torch. As you hold out the word of life that goes before you, it's producing life. You say, Pastor, well, what do you mean by words of life and words of death? Well, I believe that we create an environment by the words that we speak. Let me give you some words of death. And some of you in your home or in your family, in your job, you're creating a death environment. And some of you are creating a life environment. Some households sound like this. You're no good. You've never been any good. You're just like your father. And that's not a compliment in that tone. I wish you were more like your sister because she's good and you're no good. You're going to fail. I wish you'd just run away from the house. You're going to end up a drunk. You're going to end up on the street. Death, 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 death seeds. But then there's life seeds. You're made in the image of God. You have dignity and worth. God loves you. I see God inside of you. Oh, you don't have to be like everybody else. You're unique. You have a purpose and a plan for your life. There's a destiny about you. God is watching over you. You are precious in His eyes. No one can take away your value or your worth. Life, 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 life. When you discipline, don't discipline death, discipline with life. When you talk, speak life into your kids. Speak life into your marriage. Speak life into your surrounding. Because there's always a lot of death that's already there. Speak life into it. And there are some of you here this morning that you know you are still trying to purge the seeds of death that have been inside of you. You are living with death and it corrodes you because there's been seeds of death planted in you and you see your life going in the direction of those negative prophecies, of those negative seeds, and you see yourself becoming things that were spoken into your life. You hate it. You don't want it. But you see, I'm becoming the very things that they told me I would become. That's not who I want to be. And you're fighting the seeds of death inside of you. Let me tell you, the best way to fight the seeds of death is with the word of life. Start saturating, soaking your mind in the Word, soaking your heart in the Word. Ask that God would purge death and lies out of your soul and your system, and that He would begin to plant the Word of life, the Word that generates life and generates relationship with God and generates renewal and resurrection. And it's the Word. Get into the Word. Saturate the Word. Soak your mind in the Word. It's the Word of life. And he says, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul says, hey, if you're in arguing and complaining or grumbling, all the work that God has done in you is going to come to a screeching halt. And I don't want to come before God. You're my labor. I've labored hard for what God is doing in you. I don't want to come before it and say, hey, it all stopped. I want it to finish. I want to make sure I ran and labored not for nothing, but for what I see God being formed in you. Which leads to our third point. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad, and here's the word again, rejoice with all of you, so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Finally, number three, the more you release joy, the more you become joyful. I love that. You see, it's a principle all throughout Scripture. The more we grab something, the less we have of something. The more we release something, the more it comes back to us. Jesus said, if you love your life and cling to it, you'll lose it. But he that gives his life will gain it. Some of you are really scarce on something, and when you're scarce on something, you grab it and grab it, and you find you have less and less. But those of you that open your palm and release it and release it, you find that it comes back to you more and more. We've talked about that before. Galatians talks about the seed and sowing, for the sowing and reaping principle. And Paul is saying right here, I love what he uses. He says, hey, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, well, you say, what is a drink offering? Well, in the Old Testament, in the Jewish custom, they understood this. When someone went to offer a sacrifice at the temple, they would offer a lamb sacrifice or an animal sacrifice, and a drink offering was an offering on top of the big sacrifice. It was usually water, honey, or wine that was poured on the burning sacrifice in order to create more of an aroma. And it was almost like a sacrifice on top of the sacrifice. It's called a libation sacrifice. You can find it in, for example, in Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, and a couple other places of the Old Testament where they poured wine or water or honey on top of a sacrifice and created an aroma. Paul is saying, your lives have been given over to God, and I'm pouring my life on top of your life to create this aroma. In fact, I love the image that Paul uses because he uses the image of him like pouring out. He says, I'm being poured out over you. This is my life. This is you. I'm pouring out my love, my mercy, my time, my energy. It's just being poured out on you. And you know what? I'm getting a lot of joy out of it. I'm not like, oh, why do I got to pour out my life for these people? Like, okay, let me sacrifice myself. Got to help them again. Oh, they're so needy. Help them grow in the Word, and they're fighting and they're arguing. Oh, God, help me. Here I am. All right, God, here I am. I guess someone's got to do it, Lord. No, he says, that's not the way it is. Because here's the principle. The principle is this. We talked about it before. We talked about it last week. Listen, the more you live for yourself, that's narcissism. The more you live for yourself, the more miserable you become. Hedonism. The more I live for pleasure and pursuing pleasure, the more it eludes me and the less joy I have. You see, God's way is opposite. You want joy? Then live for something bigger than yourself. Bigger than your needs. Bigger than your stuff. Live for God. And live for God's purposes. And pour yourself out for God's purposes. And what will happen as a result, almost anecdotally, what will happen is that you will receive joy back in your life, and it will be joy that fills you and overflows. And as you receive joy, other people will be joyful as well. Listen, you want to experience joy? Then stop making yourself the center of the universe.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called How to Maintain an Attitude of Joy. It's from his series called Joy is a Choice. Learn to laugh again. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.